Luke chapter 2, familiar passage of Christmas. As we remember the birth of our Savior, I introduced last week a series that I'm doing this month on the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas. Last week we looked at how important it is for us to understand that peace is a spirit of Christmas. In fact, we looked at the reason there is peace, and it's because of the Prince of Peace. It's because of Jesus Christ that we experience peace with God through salvation, and then peace of God through surrender. And no Christian, by the way, will ever have peace in his or her life apart from being surrendered. We got to be surrendered always, all the time, just surrendered to the Lord after we get saved. And I'm thankful for the peace that Jesus brings through salvation and then surrender. And then today we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. And what I'll begin reading here, let's just begin reading in verse number 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says, "And she, that is Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach on the message on the subject of the joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord, I am grateful this morning for the Word of God. I recognize that it is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, Your Word is going to do its work. And I just pray that I could be a vessel, an instrument today. I pray for the children, the young people, and the adults, every person. I pray that we would all testify this morning that we have heard from heaven, that we have sensed the presence of God in helping us understand this all-important and wonderful subject of joy. Lord, thank You again for how You will work as we yield to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. The joy of Christmas. Obviously, the message of salvation is a message of joy. Praise God. And I want to do my best to dive in a little bit on the subject of joy. Not that I can expound that subject this morning. There's no way possible. We'll be expounding that for all eternity. But I want to, with the Lord's help, just help us to just really understand how important it is to be joyful people. All the time, of course, in our Christian life, but not just Christmas, but all the time, but especially, can I say, Christmas. Because as I mentioned last week on the subject of peace, God's people should be at peace all the time. But in Christmas, there's a tendency and a temptation for things to take that peace away that Jesus intends us to have. And I thought it was sort of ironic that God's people stress out about celebrating peace. We do, though, don't we? We got to guard against it. We must guard against it. And we can. And we do. But not only peace, but also the joy. The joy of Christmas that the Lord Jesus brings. I love Christmas. I love the fact that we sing those great songs, as we even sang this morning, and Brother Mike didn't know that I was going to be preaching. At least I don't think you knew. Did I get you my notes? Yeah. Yeah. He knew I'd be preaching, but he didn't know I'd be preaching on this, but the Lord knew. But, you know, Joy to the World, a wonderful Christmas hymn. But, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll just sing that mechanically. We'll sing Joy to the World without an ounce of joy in our hearts. We'll sing Joy to the World and we don't have joy ourselves. How does that work? Well, we have to guard against robbers of joy, thieves of joy. We don't want to give our joy away. God has given us joy through His Son, Jesus Christ. And may I remind you that joy is not in circumstance. Joy is not in your happenings. Joy is not in your surroundings. And you can find that to be true and consistent through Scripture, that joy is found in Jesus. It's Him. It's Him we run to this morning. It's Him we sing to this morning. It's Him that we bow to this morning. It's Him. It's Jesus. Young people, I know there are things this world offers. There's video games, there's toys, and there's bikes and bells and whistles. There's remote control cars, there's the only reason I use remote control cars is because that's fresh on my mind. Thomas just got one for his birthday, and I think I like that thing more than he does. There's all these different things that the world gives that can bring a temporary happiness. But young people, mark this down on your notes. Nothing will ever give you joy that Jesus brings. Joy comes from Jesus. The word joy is used 165 times in Scripture. The book with the most uses, anybody want to take a wild guess? I guessed at first, before I got into reading, of each of the books. I use a Bible program that shows me, you know, identifies all the verses that uses it. And so as soon as it pops up, I'm scrolling down from the top. Before I even started scrolling down, I guessed the Psalms. But I was wrong. The book of the Bible that uses joy the most is the book of Isaiah. Isn't that interesting? Because Isaiah is talking about the joy that the Messiah brings. Jesus is His name. The coming Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It's Jesus that brings true joy. Isaiah. Now, Psalms did come in second place. But nevertheless, we see that word joy used many times throughout the Word of God. Also, in fact, a word that's even used more than the word joy. Joy is used 165 times throughout the Word of God. But then the word rejoice is used 192 times throughout the Word of God. And yes, the book of Psalms does have rejoice more than any other book. And it's used 54 times just in the book of Psalms. But that word joy is a description of not a feeling. Can I be clear on that, please? It took me a while to get a hold of this. And quite frankly, church, I feel like I'm still trying to get a hold of this. But joy is more than a feeling. Now, thank the Lord, it includes feeling. But feeling, my friends, is a byproduct. It's a result many times. Joy is much deeper than that. Joy is a deep-seated conviction that Jesus
is God, He is Savior, and He is King. That's where joy is found. That's why it is possible for me to be joyful and not be smiling. It is possible. It is possible because there are times in life that doesn't bring a smile on our face necessarily, but even for the believer, just the same as peace, there can be a deep-seated conviction that God is awesome and He's going to take care of me. If I can trust Him to save my soul, I can trust Him to provide for me for my every need, and that brings my heart joy. That gives me something to celebrate internally, though I may not be jumping and shouting, although that does happen as you see throughout the Word of God in the book of Psalms. There's clapping of joy. There's shouting for joy. There is dancing with joy. Yes, you just heard a Baptist preacher say there is dancing for joy. It's called sanctified dancing. Dancing that honors the Lord. I believe that the Bible says David danced. You say, would you demonstrate? I will not. There's great joy to experience for the child of God. Mark this verse down in your notes or even in your Bible. 1 Peter 1:8. The Bible says, whom having not seen ye love, talking about the Lord Jesus, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, listen to this, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the joy I'm talking about this morning. It's unspeakable. We can't go to Webster's Dictionary. Well, you could, but you really can't. And find a true definition of joy. Because this joy is only known through experience. And it's only found when a person comes to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's where it begins. And that joy is renewed daily in the believer's life. And it's awesome. I can't describe it. It'd be like you. How many of you here have had the privilege of going and witnessing the beauty and awe of the Grand Canyon? How many of you here, just out of curiosity? Wow, a good many of you. Now, you could come back. I've never been there. You could come back, and my in-laws just went, and they were trying to explain it to me a little bit over Thanksgiving and describe it a little bit. And you could come back, and you could try your best to explain the beauty of the Grand Canyon. And I'm sure it was. But do you realize I'm just not going to really get it until I'm there? I mean, you can even show me pictures. And that takes it to another level. But then you know, because what you witnessed in that moment of gazing your eyes upon this grand creation of God, this beauty, you're like, wow. You almost take your breath away. Unspeakable. Now, I'm sorry. That's just a sorry analogy compared to joy. But my friends, you can't experience joy until you have Jesus. And not only that you have Him as Savior, but oh my friends, when we are walking in obedience with Him, when we are surrendered to the Lord, that's where we're going to find joy. You see joy throughout the Word of God, and especially even in the Christmas story. Remember when the wise men, what does the Bible say? When they saw the star, it says they what? They rejoiced, but it didn't stop there. They said, with exceeding joy. Now, I'm telling you, there might have been some dancing among the wise men. Some exceeding joy. That's not just, oh, praise the Lord. No, friend. It went way deeper than that. It was, hey, it was on. It was praise God. From the very depths of their soul, there was joy and joy in the King that they were pursuing. They saw the star that was leading them to the King. There's joy in following Jesus Christ. There's joy in putting our trust in Him. In fact, it's not just joy, it's joy unspeakable. I can't even describe it to you this morning. I can only tell you that you can experience it. You can. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, you can do it today and experience the joy that the world will never be able to give. You can ask many of these people, if not all, these you folks here today, you can testify. We got many witnesses here this morning. If you don't believe me, I could just start calling out names here. I could just start reaching out. Would you come up? And I guarantee you, you could come up, though you may be a little embarrassed, but if you came right down to it, you would be able to stand before these people and tell you that there's no joy like Jesus. Nobody on this earth that thrills my soul like Jesus. He's the only one. I believe there are many that could testify that, not just here, but there are thousands all over this community, millions across this nation, millions across this world that testify of this wonderful doctrine of the joy that comes through knowing Jesus as your Savior. Let me tell you how great Jesus is. I can't. I can try. But even as a babe, even as a babe in the womb of his mother, Mary. And I say mother in the context, she was the carrier. She was the carrier. She was the mother, the carrier of a human body. But let me assure and remind everyone here, God has no mother. But the carrier, Mary, the Virgin Mary, that was chosen to be the vessel of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, when she came into the presence and had the precious God babe in her womb there, her tummy there, and walked into the presence of her cousin Elizabeth, who also was with child. And that was John the Baptist. Do you know what the Bible says took place when they came into the presence? Leaped with what? Joy! A babe in the womb. The Holy Spirit came upon this babe in the womb in the presence of Jesus and leaped with joy. In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when you're walking with God as a Christian, even in the midst of darkness, and this world is dark, is it not? And this is a cruel world in many ways that God's people can walk through with peace, but also with a joy. I love that old Christian hymn that says, "Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Man and beast before Him bow, and He is in the manger. Bow, and He is there now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today." And then that second verse. "Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this." That's joy. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to encourage you. Let's be purposeful about being filled with joy. If you know Jesus. I gave Charlie Brown illustration last week. I got another one for you. And Charlie Brown Christmas, you may be familiar, it is a tradition at our home. We've not done it yet, but my kids have already been asking, "Dad, when are we watching Charlie Brown?" I said, "It's coming." I like that. But in Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown was having trouble getting into the Christmas spirit. So Linus said, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." But you know, sadly, if we're not careful, and I'm speaking to myself right now, we can turn Christmas into a problem.
And we can't point fingers. We just got to look in the mirror and realize that it's nobody's fault that we don't have joy, but ours. Because God gave it. And He didn't just give a little portion. As I'll mention here in a minute, the Bible says clearly that when Jesus gave joy, He says He gave it that it might be what? Full. I have come that you might have joy and that your joy might be full. That means to capacity and overflowing. And we understand that the world is looking for so many other things to find their joy, but they just come up empty-handed. We have a world that's lying in darkness, brothers and sisters in Christ, and so why don't we just go out and be joyful people? Amen. Growing up, I had family members when I went to the Christmas parties, and people that I love. But the only way they found joy was through drinking. Everybody was kind of, a lot of times, I mean, it was glad to see each other, but it was just kind of, there for a while. And then after a couple drinks, a few more. And each time, the happiness picked up. The laughing. It's interesting. It's artificial. It's not joy. That's an artificial. It's a happiness, but it's fake. But I am grateful. Just so grateful when I can get around God's people. And just enjoy the presence of God without taking anything. Just being around my brothers and my sisters and rejoicing in the Lord. It's a blessing. Listen, what you have in Christ is very unique. The world can't experience this. They can't. They have to know Jesus. And so what we do is we try to get it to them, and we can try to explain it to them, and God wants us to explain it to them, and God wants us to lead them, but they can't get it until they make that decision. I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. And there are some here that are believers, and quite frankly, you're trying to follow the steps of the Grinch. And you're just mad at the world. And, hey, even the Grinch got things right, okay? Although that's a silly cartoon, but my point is that we as God's people, we need to come to the place, you know what, this is Christmas. And not only Christmas, it's just not just a holiday, it's a recognition of who was born. And it's my God and my Savior. And I am going to choose to be joyful. And I am going to let God shine through me. Let me close with giving you a few points. I believe that the deepness of true joy is found in Jesus Christ. And let me just give you several aspects. Young people, if you're taking notes, adults taking notes, let me give you a few of these about the aspects of biblical joy, the joy that Jesus brings. Number one, I've mentioned this, so I'm not going to spend much time on this. Joy is not a feeling, but get this. I love this. Joy is a response. Would you note that? Joy is not a feeling, it is a response. What is it a response to? God. Jesus Christ, I respond to Him in salvation. He's calling me. He's not going to force me, but He's calling me and inviting me to salvation. I get saved. That's a response. Joy comes through Jesus, responding to Jesus. When I surrender my life to Him daily and seek to grow in grace, it's a response of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, leading me. You see, it's more than a feeling. It's more than happiness. It's more than a smile. It's more than excitement and exuberance. It includes those things many times, but it's much deeper than that. Joy is my heart near to the heart of God. It begins in my soul and then it just works its way out through my life. It's like that old deep well springing forth of that living water. It's deep down and it's settled in there, but it can be pumped out and it can bless many. And that's what you are called to do. And that's what I am called to do. Joy is the response to Jesus, what He brings. Number two, not only is joy not a feeling but a response, but it is unique only to believers. I want to give you that verse that I mentioned. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." That means it doesn't need to leave. It stays. "And that your joy might be full." Let me make this statement. There is only one thing that can give true joy, and that is knowing and thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are without excuse, aren't we? Every day we have to fight with this. I'm just going to be transparent with you because I believe that's always the best way. I lost my joy yesterday. Dumb stuff. Just dumb stuff. Anybody ever lose their joy over dumb stuff? We have to be careful. We got to guard against it. Let's determine in our hearts, I'm not going to lose my joy that Jesus brings. And when we do, we get it back by simply getting right with the Lord and saying, "Lord, I'm sorry." You know, there's joy in repentance. The Bible is very clear on that. You don't believe me? Go to Psalm 51. What is it? What is the David? When he got right with God, he said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart." And he said, "Lord, would you restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation." Oh, wow. What a great prayer for God's people. "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Salvation is to be enjoyed, friend. Thirdly, joy is greatly beneficial to others. Joy is greatly beneficial to others. John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Joy is contagious. Holy joy, Spurgeon said, will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. He says, holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. It will bless those around you. I heard a story recently of an old man. People thought he was just some kind of quack and some guy that lost his mind, but he carried around a can of oil and he just made it his point. One of his things in life, he's just an older man and he just wanted to do this, but he carried around this oil can, and any time he went through a screeching or creaky door, he just put oil on it. He just everywhere he went. He just said, "What is he doing? He's just oiling the door." He just doing that, and people think, "What in the world?" And you know, some people may think that's crazy. You can have your own opinion on that. But let me give you some spiritual illustration. Do you know what God's people are doing spiritually? If you're a joyful person, you step into people's lives that are struggling, especially in a lost world, and you have the joy of the Lord. Let me tell you, you're putting an oil on some hardness that they have. You're giving some oil there to help them. The joy that just spills out from your life if you let it. We've many of times have heard the missionary. We have a Sunday school, Adoniram Judson, named after Adoniram Judson. He was just a missionary that loved the Lord, gave his life, and did a great work for God overseas. And he came home on furlough one time, and there was a little boy, probably just knee high, waist high, and saw Adoniram in town. He was there just there in his hometown. And this little boy, one of the first things he noticed about this missionary is he noticed that he just seemed to have a peace and a joy. And he even called it a glow.
He said he even went to his daddy and he said, "Daddy, that man over there, who is that?" And the daddy got distracted and he was talking, and thankfully they got his attention and he went over there and talked with him, the little boy and his daddy, and they just carried on a conversation. Well, forgot to respond to his son later on, but come to find out, this guy tells the story in his autobiography. That little boy was a guy by the name of Charles Trumbull, and who's wrote many. He pastored a church there in Connecticut, a thriving church. He wrote several books on Christian living, Christian devotion. He said he was that little boy, and he said it made an indelible impression on his life that when he saw that man, he just had the glow of God, the joy of the Lord upon his countenance. But you know, sometimes we forget the fact that we don't even realize we've lost it. We're so quickly to get a scowl on our face. I used to give my Chloe, sometimes she doesn't do it as much, I give my Chloe, my 3-year-old, the hardest time. Because I'm like, that girl has the meanest scowl that she can put on her face. I'm like, where does she get that from? Her dad. You're right. And then sometimes I feel my face when I'm looking. Well, that's where she gets it from. I looked it up because I didn't know if it was true, but you've heard the statement that it takes 17 muscles in the face to smile and takes 79 muscles to frown. Have you ever heard that? I wanted to look it up and see if it was true. I was like, I don't know about that. You hear those things. Those sounds like preacher's illustrations. And I looked it up. Sure enough, I did find out that it was not completely accurate, but still accurate enough for a good illustration. The truth is, it does take 17 muscles to smile, but it takes 49 muscles to frown. What's the point? God's people ought to be those people that are filled with joy and making an impact on those around them. And sometimes we go through this life sour, thinking that the world is against us and that God is against us. But I want to tell you, there's power in the joy of the Lord. He promised that He would bring great joy, and He has brought great joy, and He is bringing great joy. And let's be people that are convinced of that. It benefits others. But then listen to this. Joy is a precious gift of the Holy Spirit that must be guarded. Young people, let me ask you something. If I were to ask you something that's precious, something, when I mean precious, I mean something that's really valuable, okay, that was given to you, worth lots of money, let's just say thousands of dollars, even millions, okay, and somebody gave that to you, you would understand how important it is to put it in a safe place, to guard it, a gem of some sort. You would guard that, because you know what thieves do? Thieves try to break through and steal things that's not theirs. That's stealing. That's why, young people, we teach you not to steal. Don't ever take anything that's not yours. But that's what thieves will do. They will try to rob people of things that are precious. They don't want junk. That's why I leave my car doors unlocked, because all they're going to get is junk. We had some come through our neighborhood, and I had my doors unlocked. I said, hey, if they want to look at a messy truck, let them have it. They ain't going to find anything in there. But thieves try to get through and get that. Well, I'll tell you something. You have something precious in your life that God has given you through Jesus Christ, and that is joy. Adults, all of us, joy God has given us. But there are robbers out there that are seeking to steal your joy. And listen to what Jesus said. You can write it down in that same verse, John 16:22. Write it down. And now, he says, and ye now therefore have sorrow. They were going through some hard times, like we all do. But notice what he says. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Whew. I want to tell you what. No man has the authority, or woman, or anybody, to take your joy or my joy. Doesn't belong to them. It belongs to me through Jesus Christ. And joy is a precious gift. So as we think about Christmas, may we not let the things that sometimes do take our joy. Let's just commit this morning. We're not going to let it happen. This Christmas is going to be different. And not just this Christmas, but January, beginning in 2025. I want it to be more about Jesus Christ, letting Him just work through me that I might have the peace that He gives and the joy He gives. I am going to seek the Lord and allow Him to do that through me. Lastly, in closing, write this down. Joy, biblical joy, is ours forever. Joy is ours forever. Is that encouraging? It's not just temporarily. It's not just a temporary feeling. It's ours forever. It's eternal. I would have you turn there, but my time has escaped. And I just want to give you the reference. It's Isaiah 51:11. You can look at it later if you want to. Some of you know it, but there's a song there. There's a song that speaks of this forever joy. It's got a little tune to it. I may try to attempt it here. I'll sing off key, but you'll forgive me. I know you will. Isaiah 51:11. The verse says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. It goes, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Wherefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. You know that's for the millennial reign. Amen. We can rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice in the Lord. That everlasting joy is talking about what God's people will experience in heaven. But I want to tell you, we can have some heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. You want me to, brother? Joy now. Now let's just be real. Let's just be real transparent. Do you have joy right now? I'm not talking about artificial joy. I'm not talking about just a feeling. I'm not just talking about, the feelings come with it. I'm just not talking about, are you smiling? I hope you are. I love to see you smile. Everybody smile. Everybody smile. I love to see people smile. It makes me smile. But listen, I'm going deeper than that. Is there a deep-seated conviction in your heart that you just know God, Jesus, Him as Savior, and you know He is meeting your needs. He's leading you. He's helping you. And there's just a deep-seated conviction there. Wow. No matter what's going on, there's a joy. And now we know what James meant when he said, count it all joy when you go into different types of tribulation. Because you can have that what only Jesus brings.
joy. Joy is such a blessing. It comes from God. It's for us. A third century man was anticipating death, and he penned his last words to a friend. Listen very carefully. He said, quote, "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is a thousand times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians. And I," he says, "am one of them." I hope today that you're a Christian. If you're not, you can be. Put your faith in Him today. If you are a Christian, have you lost your joy? Have you given it away? Has there been a thief that has come through and stolen it? And you better just go ahead and get it back today and say, "That's mine. It's not, doesn't belong to anybody else. God gave it to me. It's mine." Amen. Let's pray.